Coming to you from Studio 507, you are now listening to the Fanville Hockey Podcast, your one-stop source for all things NHL. Join the crew as they cover the biggest highlights and stories from around the league. Now, it's time to drop the puck with your host, Evan Johnson.
We are live from Studio 507. This is Fanville 70. I'm your host, Evan Johnson. I'm joined by our co-host, Drew Dolking. How are you doing today, Drew?
Pretty good. You mentioned last time before about how another podcast would name it after like players, and I just see 70 and I'm thinking Braden Holtby.
Was that a shout out to your brother?
It is a little
bit. That was kind of, you didn't want to say his name, but
yeah.
He likes the Washington Capitals. You know, hope he did what he had to do. Mm-hmm. We also joined by our other co-host, Cody Pease, and our producer. How are you doing today, Cody?
Doing great. You're what are you talking about?
Do you have a shout out to any number 70?
No, I don't know anybody. 70s.
You don't know another person who has the number 70.
Nope, can't think of them.
I know Tyler Brooks.
Yeah, damn, that's crazy.
But he ain't here no more. Mm-hmm. So anyway, last week we didn't have an episode because me and Drew participated in a championship game.
Well,
Drew did not participate in the championship
game. I'm sorry.
But we won. What did you get sick with?
So that's the fun fact.
He almost died. People
don't know. But it was like basically it was a really nasty like head cold that just spiraled out of control. And I
think that's a symptom of pregnancy.
Stop eating out of trash cans, man. That's what you need to do.
I can't confirm that I am not pregnant and I should not eat out of trash cans.
Did you take a pregnancy test?
I did.
Moving on. The NHL draft lottery will be held on May 8th, and then the NHL draft will be held on June 28th and 29th. So, you know, the Connor Bedard sweepstakes really pick up on May 8th. Mm-hmm. You know, also draft news. Due to the new draft lottery rules that they, you know, put in like 3 or 4 years ago, only the bottom 10 teams actually have a chance at grabbing the first overall pick, which is probably going to be Connor Bedard. As of right now, according to winning percentage, the teams that have an opportunity to get the first pick are, and these are in no order, they're just the 10 teams that have the availability to, is Detroit, St. Louis, Vancouver, Montreal, Columbus, Chicago, Philadelphia, San Jose, Anaheim, and Arizona. Obviously, the Columbus Blue Jackets and the San Jose Sharks and the Anaheim Ducks have the highest chance because they're the three worst records in the league. We kind of talked about Connor Bedard and the first overall pick when we did our trade deadline show because a lot of trades, you know, mm-hmm. are draft related, obviously. Out of these 10 teams, who would you like to see Connor Bedard go to is my first question. Second question, where do you think the NHL would want him to go?
Wow. That's a big question. I've actually been thinking about that a lot lately, believe it or not, because I've heard about this upcoming draft class. It's supposed to be pretty stacked.
The top like 15 are really good.
I read something from Bedard's mom where it was some just headline blurb where it's like, he's never eaten fast food in his life. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, so this dude's like the Terminator. Man, this is tough to see Detroit on here because I'm going to be honest, it'd be kind of cool to see him go to Detroit.
That's your pick. Where do you think the NHL wants him?
Where would the NHL want him? Montreal.
He's from Vancouver.
And
Vancouver's on the list.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of these teams are.
Vancouver does need a shot in the arm. That's a team that's been boring.
They've been
quiet.
Shot in the arm, it looks like.
They've been shot in the arm.
Might as well take the other one.
Yeah. Okay, Drew, any thoughts?
I think I'm going to do inverse because the only thing I think of is the place where the NHL would probably want him. I would imagine they'd probably want him in either Arizona or Anaheim. And if I had to pick one, I had to say Arizona.
I'm going to agree with you. I think Gary Bettman really wants him to go to Arizona.
Yeah, I think he really wants Arizona to get it. However, who I think would be like incredible to get him would be Vancouver. Because he's from there, it's mm-hmm. the perfect story.
Hometown boy would be
yeah,
cool.
It's like the perfect story. You can't beat that.
So I'm going to go with Arizona as well because you can't imagine a bigger Band-Aid than Connor Bedard in Arizona. You know how fast that team would, not like team being good, but you know how many interest is going to go to that team? They'd get a building faster, probably. They'd get a lot more fanfare because they have one of the best
Connor Bedard.
Yeah, like Gary Bettman's really tried his hardest to keep Arizona afloat at ASU.
Well, maybe if they didn't try to build the best fantasy roster ever of old players that are no longer playing.
Non-active fantasy roster. Where I think he's probably going to end up is Chicago, because Chicago's such a big market. Which, as St. Louis people, we don't really like that.
But I'm like, also, there's been a lot of controversy around Chicago, too, with their whole situation beforehand.
Yeah, do you really want to reward them for their bad behavior?
No. I get it.
And Philly could use some PR right now, but...
Philly could absolutely
I think Philadelphia's in the same damn boat as Chicago.
But, yeah.
The only place I... There's, like, two places I really don't want to see Bedard go to on this list, and it's Detroit and Montreal. I don't want to see him go to, because I think those teams will be fine without him and can manage with a different draft pick.
The reason I don't want Detroit is because, A, I think they're already pretty close to being there.
Yeah.
B, Detroit had its heyday in the early 2000s. Some of these teams, give them, like, Arizona, San Jose. Like, I know San Jose's kind of to a final. They've been to the third round a couple times, but they've never really had their, their time. Columbus, you never see them do anything. Yeah. So, like, those teams, I think, are the teams that are more deserving of him, but, it's a lottery.
I just thought about that. Laine, Goudreau, and Bedard.
But you know what the problem with Laine is? He's a shooter.
Yeah.
And so's Bedard. Mm-hmm. So they probably would never play on the same line. And Goudreau can be a shooter, as we know, but he will pass the puck.
He will pass the puck. He'll make the plays. So, yeah. I mean, depends.
There's only one team as of right now that cannot get Connor Bedard, and that would be the Boston Bruins. The Boston Bruins have locked in their spot for the 2023 playoffs. Not surprising, they lead the league.
I got a question, though, about that. This seems to me like, is this one of the fastest that a team has ever locked in a playoff spot?
Well, Drew, I'll tell you that right now. I don't know the math on that one, but I do know the Boston Bruins are still on pace to, like, have the, the best season
ever.
So right now they have 52 wins, 11 losses, 5 overtime losses. All the best, like, winning, like, most wins in a season, 62. So they're 10 away, and they only have 68 games played. So
they can definitely do it.
You can do the math on that one. What's surprising is their home and away record. Like, their home record is 27-3-3. They've only lost 3 games in regulation at home and then 3 in overtime. Their away record, 25-8-2.
How do they always consistently end up being this good?
I think a lot of that comes to the locker room atmosphere there in Boston. It's like everyone has stated that it's one of the best locker rooms in the league.
Hmm.
And I think when you got guys that want to play for each other, it just heightens everybody up.
That certainly can't hurt.
Because then you get some, like, these third, fourth line guys, and it's like, oh, man. Suddenly they're pulling out stops that you'd see normally second line or first line guys doing as well. That's what happened with Tampa whenever they went for their cup runs, too, as you saw.
They had deep teams.
It's how do you generate depth?
It's how do you get guys going? How do you get them moving? How do you get them doing the things that are required to win?
Right.
I think the thing that Boston is doing under the radar that most people don't know is every team in the NHL has a cap. It's 82.5. No one can go over that number on any given night if they're playing. Boston has an internal cap, where they don't allow certain players to go over a certain amount of dollars per year, like AAV.
Mm-hmm.
So some of their better players, like Bergeron, Marchand, McAvoy, Pastrnak. Well, Pastrnak just kind of busted that thing. But at the beginning of this year, they all were under a certain dollar amount.
Were they all under like 6 or something?
I think it was like 8.
I thought most of them were close to like 6 or 7.
Well, I mean, they bounce around. It depends on who you are and where you play, Mm-hmm. But all their players have this like internal cap. Like, they don't have like the Toronto Maple Leafs problem where 4 guys are getting paid $44 million.
Yeah.
Which is half of the cap. Half of their team is half of the cap, So I think that's given them depth, throughout their lineup. And that's why I think they've been able to you know, hold on to this. I mean, their goal differential is 106.
That's
they scored
ridiculous.
106 more goals.
And they've let up.
Then wow. they've let in. And then the worst goal differential is Anaheim at 99. So when Anaheim plays Boston, there's 100 plus goal or almost 200 goal differential.
That's ridiculous.
That was interesting what you mentioned, though, about the internal cap. That just sounds
they're
good
business. There's only two teams that do that, and that's the Boston Bruins and the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that and are consistently winning. Some of the league leaders, I mean, at least in the past few years.
Because, I mean, when you think about it, it's just a culture thing. And that culture really brings out the best in guys.
Well, okay, so the Pittsburgh Penguins used to do it mm-hmm. when they were winning the Cups. And, like, what Crosby said in an interview that kind of stuck out, I forgot when it was, but he said if everyone buys into that, it works because then everyone's under that number.
What
Crosby gets paid $8.7 million. Uh-huh. Crosby's not an $8.7 million guy. Yeah. But Malkin, you know, is around that number. Letang's mm-hmm. around that number. So instead of them being in the 11-12s like they should be, now they have like an extra $20 million to spend on third and fourth line guys.
To really pad out the team. Yeah. That's a good idea.
Now, I mean, they don't really do that
part
anymore.
Part of the reason they went back-to-back, too.
Yeah. But that works. But then you have people like... For example, like Minnesota, they had Kirill Kaprizov. His contract was up, and what'd he do? He cashed in for big money. So now, mm-hmm. that really screwed... I'm glad I picked Minnesota, actually, because that really screwed up Minnesota, because they have the Suter deal, and they have the Zach Parise deal that kicked in that's really screwing them over on money that they can't put a good team... Yeah. I mean, they do have... this year, they do have a good team, but, like, down the line, it's just going to hurt them and hurt them and hurt them because they're going to run out of money, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's just how you have to do it. And as we mentioned before, out of the 10 teams we talked about earlier with the draft, three of those teams are already mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. That is San Jose, Columbus, Blue Jackets, and the Chicago Blackhawks. So those teams are all mathematically eliminated from playoffs. So if they win out and everyone else in the NHL loses out, they still won't make it.
I mean, I think everyone saw these three teams coming.
Coming where? To the bottom of the league? Or?
at the beginning of the season, you kind of knew Chicago wasn't going to do much of anything. San Jose was kind of up in the air.
You know what's crazy about San Jose?
Eric Carlson
is going to probably get 100 points as a defenseman, and their team cannot do anything else.
It won't matter.
Yeah. Which that brought up the conversation last week of, well, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, will Carlson still win the Norris?
Everything
if you have 100, no one has had 100 points. Like, we almost saw it last year with Yossi.
Yeah.
But no one has done that since Bobby Orr.
Yeah.
That would be unreal.
And he wouldn't even win the Norris because his team is dog shit.
He might still, like, if you hit 100 points, I feel like at that point you're still.
Well, I mean, that's a great personal milestone, right?
Okay, there's only been one defenseman. I heard this on a radio show. There's only been one defenseman ever to win the Norris Trophy. And not make playoffs, and that was Adam Fox a couple years ago.
I remember that.
That was the only year.
He deserved it that year.
Yeah.
I mean, the
but could you not say the same about Carlson?
I got to be honest, as a person that does, I mean, I kind of pay attention to a few teams, and I don't really have as much of a wider league view as you guys do. Certainly, I forgot Carlson existed this year. So, I mean, I don't know.
But he's playing like he used to in Ottawa, though. Mm-hmm. Like, on his Ottawa days, he was, you know, lights out. And then when he got to San Jose, he just kind of fizzled out because, you know, different system, different...
You got to get acclimated.
Yeah, but now he's there. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, playing like, you know, he did, you know, 5-6 years ago.
So, I think it was Elliot Friedman again. I think I saw him... he was asking around the league, like, oh, you know, like, Norris. Apparently 14, if it was, like, to stop at, like, right now, 14 would still vote for Carlson for Norris. 14, like, GMs.
Oh, 14. Well, the GMs are voting, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's still something to say, though. It's like when you got at least 14 other guys that notice, like, hey, this is an impact player. Still.
Well, that also means that the other, you know, 18 aren't.
Yeah.
That's a tough.
But then that 18 goes, that could go to, say, Morrissey, or it could go to Hedman or whoever else.
Hedman ain't getting it
this year. But Hedman's been there consistently. Yeah.
I think the other 18 would be Kale McCarr.
I don't know.
Because I feel like Morrissey would steal a couple of those votes.
Do you want to look at defenseman stats?
A little
bit. Let's look at some defenseman stats.
Eric Karlsson, points, 85. Next closest person is Morrissey at 69.
Nice.
Nice.
Goals, Eric Karlsson, 20. Next closest person, Dougie Hamilton at 18. Yossi at 18. And assists, this is kind of where he takes off. He has 65. Quinn Hughes has 58. And then Morrissey, 54. So he leads all defensive categories.
Yeah,
now,
point.
You have to realize that those are all offensive stats.
Vote this man for Norris.
Now, the problem is that the Norris Trophy is supposed to be the best defenseman, not best...
offensive defenseman.
Offensive, yeah.
Yeah, and when do they do... Do they wait until postseason to do the...
They don't really have that at the ready.
Really? What?
Do they wait until postseason to do the voting?
No, they normally... they vote the second... Once the last game is played, like every team has played 82,
mm-hmm. It gets voted.
The ballots right are open for the writers.
So the playoff performance.
So once the playoff stops, the ballots close because they don't want any of the playoff performances to sway your opinion because it's in a regular season award, not a regular season.
Not
a postseason.
Karlsson, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't
his
team's you vote
already
for
eliminated, and they still have 20 games?
Yeah, but I mean, if you also reach 100, I feel like that's a shoo-in.
I thought that too with Roman Yossi last year, but
Kale he didn't hit 100.
He had 96, and Kale McCarr
but
won.
But he didn't hit 100.
But his team didn't make playoffs. Oh no, his team did make playoffs.
Yeah.
Both see, but did. That's where it's like, is it
it's,
the best?
It's all a matter of.
But
opinion.
But out of all the
it's,
years,
it's
they've
not
given
like
it, only one
defenseman
has been
MVP, right?
Yeah.
What?
It's I don't know. I don't know.
It's
how
supposed
to
be the best
what
defenseman.
Say.
Like
right.
When you think of defenseman, you think. Defense.
So, I guess we didn't go over what are his defensive stats. What's his plus minus?
Yeah, you probably don't want to
know. No, you don't want
plus minus. You probably
don't
okay.
Want plus minus.
So.
Well, now I want to know because they're not going to be good because he's on the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah, I was
actually ain't that bad. Actually ain't that bad. Negative 14.
Negative 14. Okay, yeah. I mean.
His career, though? Negative 91.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, that might be why we don't see that happening.
Yeah, plus minus is a weird stat anyway, in my opinion.
It's more of a team stat, and that's why when he asked that, it's not going to be good because San Jose's already eliminated.
Yeah.
I know.
But if you think of it this way, though.
Shots? What? Is it possible to find block shots for Karlsson?
I mean, yeah, we could. I mean, it's going to take a bit.
Yeah. Because I'm like, I feel like that's another thing you have to look at for a defensive player.
But when I think of defense, I don't think of block shots. I think of takeaways. I think of...
Takeaways, turnovers. I don't know.
I think of zone exits.
Zone exits. Because
that's your whole point. Breakouts. Is you get the puck out of your zone.
Yeah.
Are they... I mean, they got to be keeping those stats, right?
Yeah, I mean, those are what you call advanced analytics. You got to pay for those websites.
Oh,
Let me
see. You should... Now I'm interested.
I'm interested, too. So who was the previous year, Norris? Was that
McCarr?
It was McCarr.
Wow.
Who, by the way, is still incredible.
Block shots.
Mm-hmm.
He's not even the top 50. He's not a defensive. He's an offensive.
Yeah, he's an offensive
defenseman.
You get him
his defensive
score
numbers
goals.
Are not that high. The person who actually leads in block shots is a forward, and it's Alec Martinez.
Wow.
With 208 blocks this year.
That is...
And then it's defense. The next forward is the 15th, and it's... Fuck, he's a defenseman. Sorry. Okay, in the top 50, there's only one forward, and he leads it.
And it's Alec Martinez.
Yeah.
That's wild. Good on Martinez.
That's a crazy stat.
And he leads it by 30.
Wow.
So imagine how much you're not out there. You know, you're sitting on the bench. So when he's out there, he basically blocks a shot.
Like almost every shift at that point.
So that means he's probably the top point on the power or on the penalty kill because you're the first, you know, closest
person.
Yeah, because
you're blocking shots. You're making sure you're getting your stick in the line.
Interesting.
I did not expect that at all.
He's the only...
Only forward.
I'm like going down the list.
And he's leading it.
He's leading it. That's crazy.
You know who led shots? Or you know someone surprising who led shots almost halfway through this year? Who's also a forward, and he's not on the top 50 list anymore, but he was for a really long time. This is another one you're never going to guess.
Never going to guess.
There's a lot of these.
Yeah.
Who do I know that blocks a lot of shots?
He is a four, like I said. Limits it down. Mm-hmm. I will tell you he's in the Eastern Conference.
That helps a lot, actually.
Cody is like, I don't even know one fucking team in the Eastern
Conference. I can't even tell you. Hey now.
He knows the Islanders.
I watched the Big City Greens game. All right.
I will give you another hint. He was not in that game.
There you go.
Yeah.
So now you're down to 14 teams to pick from. Uh-huh. You're never gonna get it.
I'm probably not gonna get it.
I guess so, throw out a name.
Throw out a name. All right. Jeez, I was thinking, someone on the Lightning.
No, it's Austin Matthews.
Austin Matthews.
Yeah, about 30 games in, he was leading the league
in block shots.
Yeah.
How are these guys doing that? I guess you can't say that Matthews is a prissy forward.
He's just out there all the time.
Yeah, like...
Oh, so you're just bound to
just
do it, yeah.
Based on ice time and the likelihood of getting shot.
Yeah, so it has to do with time on ice as well as, you know, when, like...
When you're out there.
Yeah.
And he's out there for the power play.
Wait, and isn't he out there for the PK
as well? Sometimes he's out there for the penalty kill, yeah.
Yeah, so that's surprising. Wow.
All right, well, we got an ad here from Butt Ends.
Yeah, we can learn something new every day.
Yeah.
And speaking of learning things new... Time to talk about Butt Ends. All right. You can go to www.buttendswithaz.com. Find the grip you want. Add it to your cart. Hit checkout. Apply the discount code FANVILLEPODCAST. One word, all lowercase. Secure your checkout. Then you're done. And then as soon as you get that bad boy on there, send us a picture of it.
Yeah. It'll help you score some goals.
Mm-hmm.
Or block some shots.
I need to get one.
Yeah, that was an interesting transition, though. Can you repeat what you said at the beginning?
Oh, no.
He said something about want to learn something new.
You want to learn something new, like how to take a shot to the face like Austin Matthews.
No, John Carlson. He broke his skull.
Oh, no, God. Did you see the I think the Blues posted it, the Robert Thomas, he took a shot up high in his visor and it cracked like right down the middle.
I did see that. Dude, ever since...
I'm actually kind of surprised it doesn't happen more.
Yeah. Dude,
like sticks hitting you and stuff.
Did you see that guy, maybe 2 years ago, like a KHL player took one right
in the temple.
It was like in the temple, but also like it came up in between like his helmet and like his face. He died.
Yeah,
scary. I'm surprised you don't see that happen more in the league.
Well, also, yeah,
remember they used to not wear helmets.
Yeah,
insanity.
Goalies used to not wear helmets. That's crazy.
The only reason the goalies never wore helmets is they didn't figure out how to lift the puck. So that kind of meant. But then once they figured it out, they're like, "Yeah, we might."
I love thinking of like cavemen goalies, like, "Ooh, we keep puck on ice.
Fuck,
no,
stay on
no
ice.
Lift, ice.
No lift, ice.
No like, lift." Why was the net so tall? Like, why is the net 4 feet tall if no one could lift it?
They probably didn't have curves on sticks, so they were just...
No, that was the problem.
So what part of it probably was is, like, you know, even like on a flat part of a blade, like, if you smack it hard enough at the right angle, you can get it up a little bit.
Dude, imagine how shocked you're going to be when a goalie is, like, watching the play come down, that puck's, like, sitting sideways. You're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah, so, like, if you knuckle puck it,
knuckle
too.
Play, yeah.
Some of the best early players in the 1910s were just knuckle pucking every shot.
Yeah,
they had to. I mean, the net's a 4x6.
That was the best way to beat people.
Yeah. Well, the goalies weren't expected to be lifted off the ground.
Yeah, that's why you see in the old footage where they're like, flinging themselves all over the place.
I feel like that's a whole other rabbit hole to fall down because I had a weird thought not too long ago. I was watching like
the Big City Green.
I'll leave the. I was watching like an Al MacInnis like micro documentary and I was watching his slap shot and I was like, you don't see like that style of shooting really anymore. I feel
that's
like
because you know why? Because the sticks do all the work now.
Really?
Like MacInnis was using a wooden stick and
so you have to put your entire body into it.
Yeah, all that power was from his body. Now like Colton Parayko, He puts half of his body on it, and then the stick whips.
And the stick does the rest of it.
Because if he puts any more, then it fucking breaks.
Yeah. Which is, you know what's even crazier about that? McKinnis, you know, when they would go to the All-Star game and do the hardest shot, he doesn't hold the record anymore, but he's still up there. Crazy because he's using a wooden stick.
Yeah. Isn't he still up in like the top five?
I think he's in the top 10 or something like that. But the problem is technology is going to get, he's going to get filtered out because the technology is going to. Because
sticks are going to get whippier, pucks are going to get, slung faster and farther.
Well, speaking of the future of the next generation of hockey players, Big City Greens on Disney.
XD.
Did anybody catch this?
I didn't watch it live. I wish I could have.
I tried to watch it. I was on Hulu, and for some reason, Hulu Live doesn't have Disney XD, but it has Disney. So I was like, oh, nice. So I did watch the game itself, because I knew people were going to post about it. My favorite Instagram post from it, I forgot who posted it, but it was just, the TV, like them lounging in a chair. You'd see their feet in the photo,
and
the TV in the background, them doing a thumbs up. And it was like, only real men watch hockey on Disney XD. And I was like, that was my favorite post in the whole entire thing.
I love it.
I was like, that was literally would have been me. Because I was trying to see, what I wanted to do is literally have the cartoon on one of the TVs in here, and then the real game,
right below.
Try to sync it,
and see
see how actually
what they're leaving out, what they can simulate.
Yeah. So I'd seen some videos of taking that and syncing it up with two different screens, and it was pretty close.
Yeah, I was thinking more like what Cody said, are they keeping and what are they taking out?
Right, are they showing big hits?
Yeah. No,
well, they'd just be the little characters bumping into each other.
Yeah,
but they're not flying.
Because the crazy
I really
thing
wanted
to
fight to happen.
That I saw was whenever someone would do a line change or whatever, they would go off in a poof of smoke, and then somebody would poof back in.
Whoa,
that's
so there
fun.
Was only always five guys and only five guys.
That is in a larger conversation. That is the way the sports really need to go if they want to get any sort of cross interest.
I'm glad hockey was the first one to do that though, because now the football does the Nickelodeon. That game is stupid.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen that.
It's SpongeBob themed. But I'm pretty sure kids love it.
Kids love it,
I'm glad that the NHL, went this route because, they are trying to grow the game.
This is little kids too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Big City Greens is like kindergartners, man.
You would know, man.
You would know.
I do. Yeah, I work in schools. They all were like,
Did you see Grandma go for the Vesna?
Yeah, so I was gonna get there.
You gonna get to Grandma?
I was gonna get to Grandma for Vesna. That's where I was gonna get to. Because when ESPN is posting that, and it's a hype up kind of video of Granny for Vesna.
Yeah, there's been some pretty good edits of Grandma.
What in the world?
Some of those videos, on TikTok and stuff,
are ridiculous.
It's the deepest mic, talking into a microphone. Yeah.
It's Granny for Vesna.
Granny for Vesna.
And it's just these animated saves. And the puck sometimes doesn't even hit her. It's just the animation of them, Granny using her blocker.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll hit in between her leg. And it's I guess it actually stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Because
Yeah.
The goalie actually stopped it, but
yeah,
mm-hmm. And it's saying they think you're weak, they think you're pathetic. Show them.
That my favorite part was when they scored a goal and everyone just huddle.
Yeah,
they forgot to do a goal animation or something. They all just huddled in a circle and
mm-hmm.
yeah, they all just shook,
jiggling,
shaking.
No, it's cool. I would love to get a behind the scenes on how they rigged all that up. They got to put sensors on everybody.
So
part of everyone already has the sensors.
So you know how they already have trackers?
Yeah.
Right? They use that as the basis
for
it.
They use that data.
And then they just basically, I think it was Trouba, Shesterkin, for Rangers, they had the actual character animations layered over them.
Well, that was for the kids.
Yeah.
That's what drew the eye of kids.
Yeah. Because then you would see that, they're like, oh, I know that character, and they're on the ice and they're playing.
That's pretty fun.
Who was the other goalie? It was Granny and...
Granny and... I forget who, but they were,
huge. Oh, my God.
The character model was ginormous.
Hold on. I'm going to try to find something here.
So while he's looking for that, I have to say, I just had this thought. How funny would it be to watch what happened between Fleury and Binnington in Big City Greens.
That would be amazing. Granny, like,
that would have went right to commercial. That once they saw Granny start charging the ice, they would have probably changed the channel. Or they would have sent that to commercial.
Cut and been like, nope, nope, nope.
Watching Fleury skate all the way down.
Here, this is what I'm looking
at. Binnington just decking somebody in the head.
It's Granny. It's like one of the little things that pops up on the front or like on the top of the screen will be like, oh, like Sidney Crosby has, you know, 14 power play goals this season.
Wasn't the Granny one like a murder or something?
It's talking about her weapons that she owns. It's Granny. And she has a variety of weapons, including a sword and a club. It's like, okay.
Is that wild?
Yeah. I guess I don't know enough about the Big City Greens lore.
Bill Green was the other goalie. The character's name is Bill Green.
Huge,
yeah, he was a big boy.
It's like gigantic.
He was a big boy.
Oh, sweet Jeebus.
And then people, like famous people, are tweeting in, like, get Bill Green off my fucking team. Oh my God.
Oh, goodness.
It's like, meanwhile, in Big City, Bold Choice going with no mask. He's like, get big Bill Green off my fucking team.
Miss me with that Bill shit.
Oh, did you see the other?
He takes up 90%. He looks like the fucking Walrus commercial from Geico, and they fucking lost.
Oh my gosh,
Darcy Kibber. They made Darcy Kibber look like a fucking hippo.
Oh my God.
He never blinks either.
Dude, Granny. Oh my goodness.
No, I was going to say, did you see, like, during parts of the game, they'd have, like, some, like, issues from the show up? So there's, like 5 giraffes, 4 rhinoceroses.
Yeah,
and stuff
just weird.
Show up.
And then I like how what? Kevin Weeks and Brian Boucher were also animated.
I think that might have been my favorite part of it.
Just, I'm here for it. More simulated
just
sports.
At those two, and they're just like.
Well, not even like simulated.
Oh, here it is right here. Here's the dude.
Real men watch the Disney XD NHL broadcast. It's true, though.
Yeah, like he has tattoos on his hand and his arm. Like, he's a manly man. Yeah, here's them scoring a goal. They all just huddle up in one, like, body almost. Anyway.
Like, imagine if you had, like, the NHL game, like, ragdoll physics with those when someone gets hit.
You mean like the EA game?
Yeah, like the EA game. When like
they probably actually use some of EA's stuff because there's no way you could do all of that.
You're not wrong. I mean, I think that's a pretty advanced simulation software.
No, I mean, like just like the movements of the players.
Yeah. So
I don't know.
You know,
like when they like put the black suits on, like the balls on them, and like
tracking.
Yeah, motion.
There's
tracking.
No way they did that. Like Disney did that just for one game.
Well, no, because they probably just use tracking.
They
I don't know.
Use
That's
tracking.
Why I'd like to look into it.
But like the players were like stick handling and stuff.
Yeah.
I'd imagine you can make some very basic. Like, obviously, you have this planned.
I mean, these are for this is like for 5-year-olds.
That's why you go with the Big City Greens animation style too, right? Because you want to pick
simple.
Something that has less.
It's not
like
as many friends.
Maybe you put a few things on every player so we can at least see where their hands are going, right? And when they are
sticking.
Or
you just think of it like this. You have like 3 basic animations, right? A like skating animation, a stick handling animation, and then a like 3rd tertiary animation.
And then
to
a
make
huddle.
It look
well,
super.
I know it wasn't a goal celebration.
Yeah, it doesn't make it look super choppy. You put all those 3 animations onto one player, and then you duplicate that for as many players that are on the ice. So they
12.
All move the same,
yeah.
Right? And then you get what you see, is what I would imagine they did.
I don't know enough about 3D animation.
It's difficult.
I have no idea.
Who do you think does this next? Probably the NFL, I'd assume.
NFL, I would imagine,
to
be
NBA
the first one to
too.
Do it.
We were.
No, I'm saying I would imagine.
Oh.
Because, like, they desperately need kids
I'm surprised
to want to go
EA
get concussions.
Sports hasn't jumped on this, because they literally have... All that already.
Yeah, and then
all
you
they
get
have
in,
to do is put the trackers on.
Dude, everybody that I talk to about sports that isn't that I haven't talked to you guys about this until now, they were saying, like, I just want to play backyard hockey now. Like,
the
old
it
games.
It reminded me a lot of, like, the backyard like, sports games, like backyard baseball, backyard football.
Backyard
so there's definitely...
Pablo was
Pablo.
The man, huh?
Pablo
there's
was
definitely
menace.
A market for that, and, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, because I remember coming home from school and being like, oh, I'm going to get on my computer and play backyard hockey because I got my homework done already.
That lines up.
Yeah.
So like, a couple math problems, you're good to go.
Yeah.
You have Granny on your team? Or yeah. Bill Green.
Bill Green.
Big Bill Green.
Big me. Dude, no, I would rather.
Dude, I would love to have someone named Bill Green on my team now. That'd be amazing.
Dude,
why don't we have custom jerseys on the way?
We can still get a Bill Green.
Oh, I know exactly who we got to give that
no,
to.
No, I would rather have Gritty be my goalie, but that's a different conversation.
That's, well, Gritty would probably scare the kids, to be honest with
dude,
you.
Dude, Gritty's the best. Stop.
Gritty is
I will
terrible.
Not tolerate.
I like how Gritty came in and not trying to be nice, you know, to all the kids.
That's
he
why
just came in like bullied everybody.
Yeah.
That's the literally the Philadelphia of like.
That's Philadelphia.
That's how they run things.
It's awesome. All right.
Well, we talked about Sidney Crosby and the Penguins earlier and their internal cap. Now we're just going to talk about Crosby himself. He scored his 82nd point this week of the season. That is now 18 years in a row that he has recorded
a point per game per season.
The only other person to do this is Gretzky, and he has 19. So next year could be a record-tying year,
yeah.
And the year after could be
record-breaking.
A record-setting or breaking. Yeah.
That's really neat. That's mm-hmm. cool that Sidney's been able to keep it going.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it crazy that all the players in the league that, you know, cycled through, only one person has scored 82? I know, like, 82 is a lot. And obviously you don't have to score one per game. You can, you know,
you
score three in one game and then
that makes up for three that you didn't. Yeah. Yeah.
And stuff like that. But I feel like back in the day when they had like 150 points, no one could do that for like almost two decades.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, you know, the way I look at it is the year that people get into the NHL has slowly gone down. Like they get younger and younger. And then that
so
means they retire
time.
Earlier and earlier. But some people, like Sidney Crosby, just don't retire.
And
know,
they
when
stick
most
it
people
out.
Do. Yeah, and they just keep going.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's a special talent, and he's been around for, you know.
I just can't fathom being able to play this game at that level for that long. It's just really, yeah.
It's difficult.
It's impressive.
It's
really
you have to think
himself.
Of how good they are. Like, when I transitioned from high school to college, which most people do, like, that jump from high school to college and the age gap, you know, you're playing, like, when you're at high school as a
you
freshman.
You mean in sports, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, when you're a freshman in high school, you're only playing against kids that are at least 4 years older than you because you have freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. Mm-hmm. That's in high school. Now, when you go to college, you're playing against kids that are possibly 8 years older than you. You have the, you know, the freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. Then you have, like, grad students. And then you have people that have like late birthdays, you know, and like all the like,
or you have guys that
much
wait a
larger
couple years
pool.
Before getting into college.
Yeah. So it's like you have a lot, like when I got to college, I was literally playing against people that had kids, house payments, you know, a 401k.
That's college, baby.
You know, like mm-hmm. people that actually have somebody mad about, you know, on a weekly basis to like where they just want to like take your head off when they see you.
Just
like,
one
just
of those
like
days.
That, like, you know, that jump, you know. Like, for a goalie, it was hard because, you know, they're shooting just as hard as, like, NHL. They're just not as good,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, as a, you know, as a hockey player. But, yeah, imagine playing at that level. Like, that
long.
That's when it hit me. It's like, imagine how good they are because they've been doing it for
years.
You know,
nonstop.
Yeah.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Another crazy stat, I guess, from this year that happened this week. McDavid's the first player since Mario Lemieux and Jaromir Jagr in 1996 to reach the 130-point mark in a season. So Connor McDavid actually has more than 130 points now. He has
134. That was close. It was one off.
But, yeah, so the only person that's come close to this was Nikita Kucherov 1 year. He had like 129 or 128.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a bit ago. That was before they were winning
Yeah.
Cups. I think that was actually the year they got swept by Columbus in the first round.
That's
because remember they had they tied. So the thing that is funny about recent hockey history is, you know, the Boston Bruins we talked about earlier of possibly breaking that 62 game record that the Rangers set for having the most wins in a season. The Tampa Bay Lightning tied that year, and then they got swept by the Columbus Blue Jackets, and that's the only playoff success the Blue Jackets have really had. They beat one of the best teams ever created, and then that was it.
And then,
that was all they were made for.
Yeah,
that was it.
This is what
spawned one of the best hockey memes ever. We know this isn't what you want to hear right now, and that your disappointment.
But imagine riding like that high of being like unstoppable the whole entire year, and then one of the teams that barely got in is like, here you go.
I think that just happened in March Madness.
Take this L.
Okay, speaking of March Madness, me and my dad were talking about that. the number one seed and the number 16 seed aren't that different teams. They're both basically undefeated.
Yeah.
You know?
You almost have to be.
It's just one, because you know who, do you know who seeds them?
Who?
It's like Riders. They're like, oh, yeah, this team's probably four. This team's probably seven. It's like, what's the, like, they both it's have lost. Subjective. Yeah, they both have lost like four games the whole entire year.
I didn't know that.
So it's like when they're like, oh my God, huge upset alert. I think of when they say that, it's more of like, I can't believe Duke lost to this team. But this team's also undefeated. You know what I mean?
I didn't really know that.
Like, that team's not just some, like, beer league team from Sunday. You know, like, they also won every single game they played this year. They're just not...
There's,
you know,
not a big...
They might not play in front of 20,000 fans every
right.
They week, might instead, you know, play in front of, like, 10 or 5 or something.
Yeah. And that kind of lines up, too. I mean, I was looking at... I was watching a couple of games. I'm really not a huge basketball fan, but March comes and everybody...
Mm. It is interesting to watch.
It's interesting, but yeah.
It puts a buzz on basketball.
It's fun to see random teams that you've from colleges you don't even know exist.
You don't know where the hell they are.
Just dunk on these, like, D1, like... schools. It's really cool.
But they're also, that's what I'm saying, like, the teams that you have to get invited to this tournament,
right?
They're not bringing in some, you know, team that's like 500, you know.
Yeah.
And they're bringing in the best of the best out of the whole entire best United from around States the country. And, like, I just think it's funny, like, it'll be like, oh, number 8 beat number 7, upset alert. It's like, first off, they beat them by one fucking point,
right?
And second off, like, the game was close the whole entire time,
right?
You know. Right. And it's like, it's not really an upset because, like, this team might have 6 losses and the other team has 5.
Right.
Yeah, because I'm like, the only other thing I'm thinking about is you see some, like, obviously some crazy fans and stuff. The crazy thing that I saw on Friday was Purdue playing, I forget who they were playing, but Purdue lost. And seeing this 7'4", 7'5" guy. Yeah. You literally just
no, like, you know the NBA is watching that, dude.
Yeah. You know, they're like, oh, we got to sign that guy.
Yeah. I think the March Madness term is more of
a showcase.
A scout. Yeah, basically a showcase where scouts are just, you know, every NBA.
And it gets everybody into it. You're right. Yeah. I don't pay any attention to basketball until March. Mm-hmm. And then I probably.
But that's exactly what they want. Because, like you just said, you don't give a shit about basketball until March. That's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
They want everyone to, you know.
Yep, go. And the bracket games all do that. All that.
That's why I think the NHL needs to move
to, like, a college.
What?
No.
Well, I get what he's getting at. He's saying that there needs to be more college hockey to be able to be seen.
Yeah, hockey tournament or college hockey tournaments. Yes. What I was going for is the NHL. Is what if you think about it, the whole entire off season of the NHL and NBA
no hockey
is no hockey, but NFL basically takes over.
Yeah.
And then the second NFL's done, then that's kind of when hockey and basketball start. But hockey and basketball are on the same timeline where they basically play roughly the same amount of games and their playoffs start at the same time. You're losing fans because the fans that are more dedicated to basketball are watching basketball. The fans that are more dedicated to hockey are watching hockey. You get no overlap. Like in the summer,
NHL isn't gonna
in the
go
summertime,
the NFL,
we're
though.
Forced to watch football and baseball.
Which you reminded me, I saw J.J. Watt, right? Apparently
he
is a...
Yeah, he wanted to play... He used to play hockey.
No, he still does in a beer league.
Well, I know. Well, God.
Right.
Imagine J.J. Watt.
Dude, I'm not playing in that beer league. No way.
Dude, imagine J.J. Watt is a defenseman and you're trying to come down and you just see J.J. Watt ready to you up.
If he's in our league, it doesn't matter what position he plays, no one's going to go skate up and try and contest him. That man
can
lift.
What if he's not a good skater? You can just, like, bully him out there and then just dip when you're off the ice.
Yeah. What position does J.J. Watt play again?
Probably forward.
Probably forward.
No. I mean in football.
Football.
Oh, he's like a...
He's like a... What the fuck?
See,
right.
What about.
See, okay, where this is an NHL podcast. My point being, defensive that guy's going to have...
Defensive end.
Yeah.
He's going to fuck
No him. One's going to move him, even if he's the worst skater out there.
Mm-hmm. So the reason I brought this up was because somebody...
Because he wanted Richard to fight him.
He'll just put his hand out. Put his hands out. You're not coming near him.
Yeah, no, because somebody asked him, it's like, oh, hey, my dad used to coach you when you were little, said both of you could have gone pro, but it was like, oh, your mom said football was safer or whatever. And he went, safer?
Football's safe.
No. Yeah. Cheaper? Yes.
Yeah.
And he went on to describe, I think, a really big issue for the game and why it's so hard to grow it is because it's a huge, huge money investment.
Well, it is.
Yeah,
and scarce like places where you can play it. That's why soccer is so popular because all you need is a ball.
and Flatland.
I actually had an even bigger conversation about this because we're based in the St. Louis area, and the St. Louis soccer scene here is pretty huge. Like, not even just the fandom for the new team, but
it's
like,
just big in general.
It's like, been
big
the club sports for kids and stuff here is really big. And we were laughing about how expensive, one of my buddies is a coach. We were laughing about how expensive it is. It's kind of ridiculous because, like, basketball, football, you need ball, you need field or court. Those are everywhere.
That's all the environment.
For some reason, soccer, you got to like spend a whole bunch of money, travel everywhere, do all this stuff, get specific training.
That's because there's so many soccer teams.
Yeah.
And there's so many kids that play it that they, like, I guess, like the ranking system.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it is for soccer, but like hockey's like Central States, AAA, AA, single A, and then, you know, like your house teams and stuff like that. Right, like, they really have that down to a T because there's so many kids that play that they really know where you fit in, that the next closest team that is of that caliber might be in Kansas City.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, but soccer does pull a lot of, you know, kids because, you know, as a kid or as a parent, I mean, I don't
have lowest barrier to entry, really.
Well, yeah, it's easy to get into. And as a kid or as a parent, what do you want your kid to do? You just want them to go out there, have fun, and get all their energy out. And what's more,
and it's relatively
getting energy
safe
out than just running around. Like, kids, when they skate, they're not really getting a lot of energy out because they don't know how to skate. So it's more just getting up and falling down and getting up and falling down and getting up and falling down. So
doing burpees.
Yeah, but yeah, you're basically doing you're making your kid do burpees all day.
And it costs like a whole bunch of money to get them all get it out.
Mm-hmm. Hockey, yeah. I think, I mean, we all know it's expensive, but, you know, kids grow so fast. Like, my parents used to get me new stuff almost every year.
Yeah, you ran out of size.
I had the opposite. They were like, does it fit? Yep.
Good
you're
enough.
Stuck with
Hope
it.
Hope you're safe.
Yeah, you're fine. And even if it didn't fit.
Because it's like, I remember as a kid, too, like, you know, you'd grow out of skates within like a year and a half. A lot of the time.
I can't remember. I think I pretty much have the same shoe size since like eighth grade.
I did not.
But from first grade to eighth
grade. Yeah, I know. That's a long jump. And, you know, we'd have to interview my mom to really be like, how many pairs of skates did you get me? Because I don't remember.
Because I only bought him two.
I went through a lot of skates.
Dude,
he actually
that's
just
why my
was,
feet are broken all
he
the
was
time.
Actually just walking on the ice. He just had no clue.
We just strapped some scissors to the bottom of his shoes and just told him to go.
That's why I was such a bad skater.
And it shows.
All right. Well, Cody, you wanted to talk about shootouts this week and some crazy goals.
Because as the resident never doing research for the podcast guy, I came across a really cool Oshie shootout goal this week that reminded me that A, he is out and about and still doing stuff, and B, that
I'm well aware shootouts still are doing stuff.
Shootouts
My brother
are pretty
does not
sick.
Let me not know.
Yeah. If you're a fan of the
Caps,
I'm sure you are well aware of Oshie's presence.
He has retroactively started turning me into a Caps fan, whether I want it or not.
I think there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Like they're
Caps
a fun,
are a fun
team,
team
to
cheer for. You get to watch Ovechkin just do his thing. Mm-hmm. You get Kuznetsov doing
However,
lines of code.
However, if he never listens to this, he'll never know I said that.
I doubt Schrodinger, he Schrodinger's I doubt podcast.
Schrodinger's Caps fan.
Okay, so since we're talking or we're on the topic of shootouts and they have been around for a little bit, I have a couple shootout questions for you.
Okay.
So, do you guys know what year the shootout was inducted into the NHL?
Shot in the dark, 2004.
2004, they did not have a season because of the lockout.
How did I know that was going to be the lockout year?
So, like, I know 2003, 2004 was the lockout, and I think it was, like, right after the lockout, so I want to say it was, like, 2006.
It was 2005. The shootout was part of the lockout.
I think I
really?
That's what, well, it was a very, it was like 2% of the whole entire thing, but, like, the main thing was money. But, like,
yeah.
That was part of it. They didn't want it to go. They didn't want GMs. They didn't want ties anymore. The GMs didn't want their season to depend on or possibly depend on a skills competition.
Yeah.
But the NHL and the NHLPA had an agreement with money. So the NHL threw in the shootout thing because they thought it'd generate more money and interest, which I think it has.
I think it has.
But I think now we're kind of getting back to the point where I'd rather see 3-on-3.
I like the 3-on-3 overtime way more. I think that's more of a display of a team's ability.
Well, you have to think about it. When the shootout was here, it was still 5-on-5 overtime. So there wasn't that much. It was just like 5 more minutes of a game.
Right.
You know, just way more defensive, you know. But
because you can't let up that goal.
Yeah, now that we've inducted this 3-on-3, I think what has happened
far
is...
far more dynamic.
Yeah, I think people have liked it because there's normally chances on both ends. The thing people don't like about 3-on-3 is the, oh, I don't like this look. I'm just going to circle back and try again, which I think is smart.
Yeah, if anybody says they don't like that, then
but as an entertainment purpose,
I get it.
It's not really entertaining when you just don't do anything.
When you just do circles, yeah.
Yeah, but there's tension regardless. You're on 3-on-3. Those 3-on-3 overtimes could swing in like a second.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you have a 2-on-1 going one way and your goalie makes a save, it's now a 2-on-1
right.
going the other way. Yeah.
It swings.
That's why that's why I said normally shoot. I always tell this to my girlfriend. I was like, this is normally how overtime is in. Someone on one end makes a big save and then they go down and score because it's like a 3-on-1 or something. You know what I mean? And it's like most people aren't going to mess up.
And you're not going to mess that up. Yeah. At
the
NHL level.
No.
Well, I mean, some people do. But
they definitely do. But
I mean, the Vancouver Canucks mess up a 3-on-0.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But, yeah, so the NHL, they started the shootout in 05. So since 05, there's still a lot of players from that season. Who do you think has the most shootout attempts since the 2005 season?
Since 2005.
So I'll give you a hint. He's still playing, and he's in the Western Conference.
Okay, so it's not Crosby then. Because I was thinking Crosby.
I was going to say Letang for some reason.
No, I don't. I feel like it has to be a forward. Patrick Kane? Well, no.
He's in the East West.
Now. Patrick Kane is, he's in the East now, but he's second on the list.
He's sick?
Patty Kane is second. This dude's been playing
this is just attempts. This is not how many they've scored.
Right, but you would think if you put up the that like the most attempts, you'd probably be pretty decent at it because your teams are probably having players, you go first or second.
Yeah, most of the good players average out around 30-ish%. Like if you're in the high 40s, you're a pretty good shootout guy because you're basically 50-50.
Oh, jeez.
I honestly can't even shoot
playing
one.
In the West?
I'm not that familiar with...
You want a division?
Yeah.
The Central Division.
Central... Ooh.
Joe Pavelski?
Yes. Joe Pavelski has gone on the shootout 126 times, and he scored 47 times.
Wow.
37.3%.
I was thinking maybe like Sagan or Ben. That's what I was thinking.
Pavelski's a little bit more of a veteran, if I understand correctly.
Yeah, he's been here since. Yeah. You know, but if you think about it, so here's the top five in shots attempted, not... goals.
Scores, yeah.
Joe Pavelski, 126. Patrick Kane, 125. So,
Wow.
Anze Kopitar, 118. Ovechkin, 117, which is kind of surprising as he sucks
at shootouts. Yeah.
And then Zach Parise at 114. So, all those guys are still active, and they still go in the shootout almost every single time, if you think about it.
And what, four of them?
Besides Ovi. The best, do you guys know who the best shot... Like the best percentages?
No idea.
Not even close.
Hit us with it. The listeners chomping at the bit.
Current player.
Oh, current player.
Current player.
Okay.
Current player. Well, I mean, these numbers are very swayed because obviously if you only go once and you score your 100%.
So this is the most successful shootout artist.
With more than one attempt.
Yeah, we'll say with more than 15 attempts. Currently playing in the league.
Is it Oshie?
No.
Because I feel like he scores almost every time.
They don't call him Soshi for nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got...
I got nothing.
So the best person with over 15 shots is Trevor Zegras. He's 64.71. And then it's Panarin. Frédéric Goudreau. Not Freddie Goudreau. Jonas Donskoy. Smechnikov. Robertson.
Wait, which Smechnikov?
Tage Thompson, the Calgary.
I'd say the first two definitely make sense. I can't believe I forgot about
TJ Oshie is 26th on the list. He's gone in the shootout 99 times. He's scored 48 of them. He's 48.48%.
That's pretty solid. You've got a 50-50 chance of Oshie getting a goal for you.
And I can guarantee you this. Last time he went, which was like Thursday night, he missed. So he probably was over 50% until
he missed.
Until last night, or a couple nights ago. Connor McDavid, surprisingly, has only gone 29 times. He's only scored 13 of them.
That's still not bad.
Interesting. I mean, it's a
Tim
different.
Tim Stutzla's 5 for 3. Or
opportunity.
Three for five, I mean.
Yeah, man. Imagine getting 5 goals on 3 shots. That's crazy.
Well, sometimes it happens, man.
McDavid. McJesus.
Yeah,
making
Jesus.
Miracles happen. Except not for Edmonton fans.
Oh, well, he has 134 points now. So.
Yeah, cool, but like, are they going to win a cup or are they going to
shit the bed again? In playoffs, right? Yeah.
Right.
That's another thing. Like, the lead leaders are like barely in playoffs, which just means they carry their team, is all mm-hmm. it means.
Well, they don't carry them enough.
Well, you can carry yourself down to the Red Bubble app.
Nice transition.
Great transition.
So all you got to do is go on the Redbubble app or website, type in Fanville Podcast or Fanville Hockey Podcast, anything like that, and our stuff will pop up. We have like 9 designs on there now. I just added like 2 more. And you can really come away with some interesting stuff. You can come away with like water bottles, coasters, T-shirts, hoodies.
I was gonna say, I'm like, you can come with some coasters.
Can't forget about the coasters.
Never.
Can't forget about the coasters. We added a QR code on there too.
Mm-hmm. You know, plungers?
No, we don't have a plunger.
We don't have plungers, okay. Bath mats.
You did need some of those earlier.
Bath mats.
We got to work on
that. We
did
need some of those.
We did need some. I will not take the L for that. That was definitely Drew, but...
That was not me. I have not used Evan's bathroom once besides to pee.
Drew gets
Super Bowl.
Pisses out the window.
You apologized for it.
Yeah, because I was making a joke.
Well,
I take that as an admission of guilt.
So starting off with the injury report for this year's... That will affect this year's playoff team. The Carolina forward, Andrei Smechnikov. He has suffered an ACL, like, rip, tear, and he's done for the year.
That sucks.
That's one that he might not be ready for next year.
Yeah.
That's kind of one of those injuries.
That is huge.
That's a long
and
recovery.
A team that really didn't do too much of the trade deadline because they thought they were pretty solid, he is one of their leading scorers, and that kind of...
That hurts a lot.
Yeah, that... You know, because they were in the Timo Meier thing, but they didn't want to give up. You know, obviously, the Timo Meier trade was a big, you know... A lot of assets moving both ways. You know, they didn't get him, and then they lose basically their leading scorer. Kind of a tough pill to swallow.
That really does suck. I feel bad for that guy.
The Colorado Avalanche are already injured enough, but, you know, it's not going to stop their playoff push because they've had a really good, like, last 10 games here, and they've gone from barely in playoffs to almost being in the first place spot. Speaking of the Central, Dallas, Minnesota, and Colorado are the top 3 teams in the Central Division. Any of those teams can still take over for the top spot because they're all, you know, within 1 or 2 points, and they're all within 1 or 2 games played. But anyway, Colorado forward Arturi Lehkonen broke his finger and will be out 4 to 6 weeks. So most of the time a finger doesn't take 4 to 6 weeks, so there's probably some kind of type of surgery involved with that. Also, I didn't put this on here because there's speculation that he'll be back before, but Ryan O'Reilly also broke his finger.
I was just
and is out 4 to 6
that.
Weeks, but they think he'll be back before because it happened like a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he has a little bit more time because, I mean, the playoffs, every team is roughly around the 20 or less games.
Because I was looking at your back shelf and I saw it and it reminded me, like, oh, yeah, that was the first overall pick I had of trades that means something for the last 20 games. And then literally the next day, he breaks his finger.
Yeah, probably didn't mean anything.
Yeah, so that looks great. Sorry. That one's more.
That's interesting. That makes me think about just playoff play in general. A lot of those guys play injured anyway.
Yeah. Do what I mean, you can't play through ACL tear.
Well, you can't play through an ACL tear, but, I mean...
You got to think of what, like Kadri last year hurt his hand,
right.
And he's supposed to be out for months, and he came back at the end of the week. Like,
it's
imagine
how
the
you
pain.
Feel.
Yeah, imagine the pain. Well, yes, they're probably not feeling too much pain, because they're probably shot up with, you know, whatever painkillers.
Got the smelling salts on the bench.
Those things wake you up, man. I was actually thinking about buying some of those for the tournament just because I know it's probably you guys haven't ever smelled smelling salts.
Oh, of course I have.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like the good, like the actual ones?
The good ones, dude. They like,
Ooh. Have you, though? Because I know some of our other teammates that are going to play in that tournament are not.
It'd be funny. I would love to get their reactions.
Have you guys ever seen the Atomic Rhino one?
Seen it?
Used it?
I know of it.
I've heard of it.
It's ridiculous. Not recommend.
I like the ones you can smell
before it's even next to you.
Yeah, I like the ones that you can smell when they're in like the plastic bag with the plastic still sealed the cap on. You can smell it. You're like, damn, that's strong. He's like, man, imagine when it's open.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be awake for sure.
No. No. Those are great.
We used to have smelling salts like for our high school or college team.
In college, and we played for a similar same team. Different years. Yeah, we were always like sniffing those on the bench like every day. We were hitting them in practice.
Why
would you hit them in practice?
Why not?
I get it. The problem is
you're going to get used to it. Yeah. Right. At some point, you'll get used to it, and then it won't affect you.
Mm-hmm. Still seem to work. I don't know.
Anyway, you can tell us about your smelling salt experiences on our Discord.
You for sure can.
Not your bath salts experience.
Not bath salts.
Plunger stuff either.
No,
please.
No plunger stuff.
You decided for incest?
Well, unless Drew wants to confess again, but
yes.
No, Fanville is trying to make the biggest hockey group chat ever, and we need your help. Find the link in the Instagram bio, join it. We're there all the time. We like to talk. We like to have fun. Come join us.
You can bully Cody on there.
You can. You can.
you can yell at him. It's and tell him his before. Editing is terrible.
You can really, honestly, when this episode airs on Tuesday or Wednesday. You know, by Thursday night, I want to see some smelling salt stories.
Get some smelling salts in the chat, boys. Let's go.
We need to get an emote for
little
that
mint packets.
We'll have to make a whole little extra side chat just for smelling salt
stories.
Smelling salt reviews.
What we should do next week. Fanville, we should go on Amazon and look up some like hockey product reviews.
Oh, that'd be great.
Because here, like, because here's the problem with the push for the playoffs for podcast reasons. The teams that are in, and the teams that are out. And normally, when it gets to this time, the teams that are out, no one really cares about until the draft, you know, is here, which we're not doing podcasts for. So once we get to the playoffs,
when is the draft?
Cody, it's at the top of the page.
Yeah, you think I know the stuff off the top of the dome?
June 28th, 29th, and then the draft.
I just meant like what day of the week is it? That would be a fun thing to do live.
Oh, I would love to do that.
Normally, it's on
the weekend. I might not be able to. I might be in Europe at that time.
Oh, sorry. We're gonna have you.
June 28th is a Wednesday. It's a Wednesday. Thursday, and then May 8th is a Monday.
Well. Apologize.
Normally they do the draft lottery during a playoff round, like normally the first round. So it kind of gives teams time to figure out who they want to pick. But yeah, like I was saying, once playoffs start, you know, the teams we have to pick from to talk about is already cut in half.
Yeah.
So maybe we could do some Amazon reviews or something like that.
Oh, I'm totally down. I'm down to even buy some and try them out on here. That'd be fun. That'd be really fun. If I bring some of crazy...
comes to your door and he's got like a full Amazon box full of...
He's like, I bought this.
Oh, dude, if I were to open one of these like crazy ammonia smelling salts in here, we'd all like pass out. Be great.
And that's no ventilation.
No.
Man.
Anyway.
Speaking of no ventilation.
That has nothing to do with this.
It kind of does.
I don't know, maybe Jonathan Taves.
Air.
Jonathan Taves is considering retirement due to long COVID symptoms. So as we know, he had COVID and he also has, you know, other medical things. Just a lot going on right now. And, you know, with being at the trade deadline of him wanting to be traded, or, you know, that's kind of the vibe everyone was getting with Kane and him kind of having the same contracts and stuff like that. And then him basically telling the Blackhawks not to trade him because he doesn't think whatever team he can go to, he doesn't think he can play for because of, you know, symptoms that he's having. You know, it's kind of sad to see that because, and, you know, as we were talking earlier about the shootout players, you know, those are guys that have been around for, years and years. And those are the kids that we remember from our childhood and stuff like that. And he's, you know, obviously another one that would fit in that category very well. Captain Serious. To see him, you know, kind of, you know, you want these guys to, you know, go out on their own terms.
Right.
Not you want to do it honorably in some case. Not like, oh, hey, I got to retire because of injury.
Yeah, and it's like, it just so happens that not everyone gets that,
the glory of that.
And, you know, because, like, you know, if he's done, he never had, you know, like a goodbye. He never, you know, got to send off the crowd and stuff like that. Like some
something
people do.
To really feel like it's, like, to have closure. And I've been thinking about that a lot lately with some of the moves that were being made and stuff. Like, with, Kane's at the Rangers, which, like, somewhat similar. I mean, I know it's a trade, it's not retirement, but still, it's like he won't retire a Hawk, maybe.
No, but at least with that, though, you know that the Rangers are going to go to Chicago at some point. It'll probably, like, next year. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, he will be back in Chicago.
Right.
Like,
so they can still do a thing for him.
Yeah, Taves might not come back and play on that ice again.
Right.
And he won't get to say his goodbye. Now, I mean, he'll get his retired. He'll get his number retired by the Hawks. But, you know, but they won't get to see him on ice, you know, with the C on his jersey.
Because, like, the other thing that I can think of happened is because, you know, obviously you're in all your Blues gear here today. Like, David Backes, where you sign a one-day contract to retire as a Hawk or a Blue or whoever else.
I like those,
too. I can see that happen.
And then, like, bring him in, get him on the ice, do a thing. Like, do a thing. I hope we can do that with Tarasenko.
No, your tears. So sweet.
Yeah, he's over there with Patrick Kane now, traitor. No.
Makes me sad.
But speaking of the Blues.
Yeah, we almost...
Oh, gosh.
We almost skipped over this.
The news of the week.
We almost skipped over this.
No, it was right on the end. Just
everyone's
best for last.
Favorite goalie. Yeah. Bennington.
No, it's everyone's actual favorite goalie and Flurry. Everyone's most hated goalie. Almost had a fight and the ref blew it.
The linesman needed to mind his own business and let Fleury beat up a child.
The refs screwed us out of one of the greatest hockey moments of all time.
Yes.
You know what's sad about that? And I told this to my girlfriend before or during the game as I was watching it. You know, I was just, that's one of those nights where you're like, man, I have absolutely nothing to do. Like, you're caught up on everything and stuff. You're like, I have nothing to do. And then I go on, like, SeatGeek or Ticketmaster. I'm like, those tickets aren't too bad. You know, and you just kind of like, you know, just moseying around, just like, you know, dipping your toes on and everything. And you're like, maybe I could pull the trigger on that. Well, you know, as every team does, they all have like Facebook group, you know, messages and chats and stuff like that. And some people put on there like, hey, you know, my can't sister's having a baby and I can't make it to the game tonight. I'm giving these tickets away for like $60. Like, both, like, they need to get rid of them, you know, and they want someone to enjoy it.
Someone should just go.
There was someone on there selling seats behind Fleury in the second or in the first and third period for like $90 for two tickets, like seven rows up from the glass, which is like, you know, $300 tickets.
Yeah.
And they said something about like, my aunt is in the hospital. You know, I just want someone to enjoy these tickets, you know, like $90, they'll be yours. And there was no comments on it, no likes, like they just posted it. And I was like, nah, you know what, we're going on vacation soon, I won't do it. So then I'm watching and it's in the second period, I see that shit going, I was like, you know what, I'm kind of glad that shit didn't happen. Because if a goalie fight did happen, I would have beat myself up because I was like, oh my God. I was like, there's no way. Yeah. And then of course, Fleury was mic'd.
And that's
during
like the best
it,
part
which is
it.
Like, yeah, he's like, he's
he
like,
was like, let me go.
Like, let's go. Yeah,
he's like, let's go. And then my favorite part is like listening to any player talk to a referee or linesman. They're like, no, let me go over here. My hair is just so messed up. I don't like how my hair is. Like,
I just
want to
go lying.
Grab my gear. You are lying. It's like,
my hair looks terrible.
Like, anything that they can possibly think of. It's like, no. And I was like, My stick's sick. I don't know. I got to go get it.
My stick's sick. I think my mom's calling me.
Yeah, it's like anything you can possibly think of. It's like, I don't like my hair like this. What are you talking about?
Keep your helmet on.
Yeah.
Like seriously, that's almost, I would say, Bennington versus Fleury is almost like...
I'd be interested to see who would actually win that. Because, like, Fleury's
got dad strength.
Yeah, he's not... Like, neither of them are big guys.
No, but Fleury is a mature man. Bennington is a child.
I know, but Bennington is, as we all know, he has these like flare ups.
What does he ever do besides cheap shot and throw tantrums?
But that's it. Yeah. But to me, though,
he's a baby.
Everyone hates him, though. But the way I look at it is, you're still in the entertainment business, and was that not entertaining?
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not entertaining. I'm just saying Bennington. I don't he's, I don't know.
I think being, he needs being to a pick blue, him a little better.
He's so cringy, dude.
I think he being needs to a, pick his battles like, just a little bit better.
Like us being but, a well, Blues
the,
fan.
The whole reason like, that all picking, popped off was because he decked a dude right with his blocker.
Which he
yeah. Yeah, well, the so he does get very rattled
that
when
was
he starts
bad.
Letting in goals. And then when he gets rattled, he just lets more in, obviously.
Yeah.
And the thing that took him over the edge was Ryan Hartman accidentally running into him, which wasn't an, like, if you
Even
play
if
hockey,
not
you know
accident,
nothing's really
though.
An accident, you know?
Yeah, like, you know, you could step over him. You can move
or
out
just
of the
skate
way
the other direction.
Little
you know
bit.
What I mean? And it was like one of those things where the Minnesota Wild and Ryan Hartman knew that he was
pissed
throwing
off.
A temper tantrum.
So
and
they're
like,
let's go
poke the bear. Yeah. And then that was the final straw. And then he went over there and. Like they say, he did punch him in the face with a blocker.
I watched
but
the
he,
replay.
He
kind
like,
of
people,
like
people
it's
made
blatant.
It. I know, but people made it feel like the actual blocker part
it
hit him in the face. No, it was his fingers. The blocker part like hit him on like the top of the head.
Yeah. So what happened was it was the backside of the.
I'm
blocker.
Reviewing the tape.
Right. That got like
yeah.
three people.
I'm
at
reviewing
once
the tape.
That's what he got suspended for was the punch, not the shenanigans before or after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
which
yeah. That's totally what I'm saying.
I mean, you
which
know.
Which people are like, he should have been suspended for more. It's like do people punch each other in the face all the time.
Well, yeah, but when you're sport. Using the, I don't know,
the blocker. Yeah, the blocker and the stick is what makes it.
Yeah, that's
but
what
goalies
makes
in
it.
General have a little bit.
Oh my god! If you just look up Bennington punch,
yeah,
on
well, yeah,
YouTube,
it's like the first result.
Evander Kane, Jason Zucker, these are all
Devin
from the season.
Devin Dubnyk with the
well, Devin Dubnyk was
Ryan Hartman. This year. Is the one that I think I need to see. Okay,
yeah.
So
I mean,
my, obviously he's
my favorite part of it
sniped on
is the commentating since it was the ESPN people. They're like the Minnesota Wild squad and Bennington.
it happens so quick too.
I loved hearing hangers though on it.
He it's tripped. Like,
let
over
him go.
Him.
Let him go.
But he could have avoided it.
Stop.
No, he could have stepped. He could have
stopped. It's but it's incidental. He's
like,
already.
But Cody, you're not telling me like tonight.
It's completely incidental. Like
that's
you can,
not on purpose.
His leg was already up.
No.
He was bringing
and then
his
he just
down.
Comes over there and decks. No, that's not a no,
Cody.
No,
you're
no.
telling me
don't
if tonight at
it.
Today I've watched it 100 times because I love
you
it.
I'm gonna watch it one more.
I know I love it.
Yeah. So like
that
the thing
is not
is
on
he's,
purpose.
He's letting his leg down. He could just keep it up and glide on one leg for a little.
Dude,
bit
did you
get
see how
him.
Quick Bennington was moving? He ran. They both just ran into each
yeah,
other.
Yeah, but you know the goalie's there. That's he's there. Yeah. He's been there for 100 years.
He ain't ever moving from there.
Where? Oh my god.
Like
yeah.
Look, you
it's
always know
thing.
The goalie's going to be near the crease.
It's literally just a thing of poking the bear, seeing what happens.
Cody, you're
he
telling
scores
me.
It. He's not in the crease, dude.
He's, but
he's out.
Trying to make, but he's trying to make a save. The goalie is given.
He's doing
all
that
the
move
area
you and
me.
I had the conversation about.
Yeah,
the leg swing.
Nice
he's doing
nice,
that.
Yeah.
He's probably trying to trip him.
I mean,
I'm out of that.
It's
that,
Bennington,
that
dude. Come
me,
on.
I'm
a hot head.
I'm still going to put this out there. I would pay probably the same amount for like a UFC fight that I would pay to watch Bennington and Fleury go at it.
I would
have that printed on my fucking wall. I would have hand painted it on my wall. That would happen.
It's like a mural.
So what would you want the outcome to be?
I don't care.
That's yeah. I really don't care.
Doesn't matter.
I mean, as a Blues fan, I'd prefer
no
Bennington to win. Fleury. But then everyone hates yeah,
everyone
Bennington.
Hates.
To be honest, I kind of like Ben. He kind of reminds me of myself a little bit. But
yeah,
you
asshole.
Are not as much of a hothead as Bennington.
Oh, you've not seen him.
Yeah,
in, you did not see him play Hawks.
I've seen.
Him. I don't do that kind of shit. But like the. I like how he plays. I like his style.
Like, Evan will get in your face, and he will let you know that
I
he is
I feel like
there.
Evan's that girlfriend that, like... No, not even Evan. Bennington's, like, that girlfriend that, like...
not even
not Evan, not Evan.
Me.
Bennington's that girlfriend that's, like, always, like, starting fights with other dudes at bars. And then the boyfriend has to,
like
back
that?
It up. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the energy I get from him. Is, like, I'm going to start some shit. I know I can't win. Or like, he punches Evander Kane, and it's like, okay.
Like, that one he probably would have lost. Uh-oh. Not gonna lie to you, but like when he went after Devin Dubnyk, everyone's like Devin Dubnyk would have beat his ass. He's like a foot taller. I was like, I don't think Devin Dubnyk.
I don't know. Bennington out of gear is like a skinny rail guy.
I don't know. I think like players versus goalie, I think the player has the advantage because
oh yeah, they don't have all that gear.
Yeah.
In the way.
Mm-hmm. But then so here, this is like a what would it be called? A theory.
Conspiracy
yeah,
theory.
Okay. This is what I've heard from people. Sorry, I was like, what
is
going
on?
For some reason, I started
it's a
with
theory.
Like a Z.
A conspiracy theory.
A Z theory.
Yeah, I was like, I don't even know what I'm talking
okay.
about.
Okay.
But But this is what people have been talking about. They're like, I wonder if the refs broke it up. Because if you think about it, the last time we had a goalie fight was Smith versus Talbot. Nothing crazy, except the Battle of Alberta got lit on fire after that.
Right.
You know, and during that whole time. Mm-hmm. Before that, the last goalie fight was Chris Johnson of the Pittsburgh Penguins and Rick DiPietro of the New York Islanders. And that's like almost 10 years ago. Yeah. Now, what happened after that is two things. Rick DiPietro fucked up his hand and like punching, and Chris Johnson broke DiPietro's skull. And it basically that he was
done. It basically just
he was done. Yeah, he was done. So, ever since then, the refs have been
very adamant,
very active at trying to stop goalie fights.
But I wonder why that is.
Because they don't know how to fight. It's kind of the main.
It's also like, I'm not sure if you noticed, but it's really awkward
to fight
to throw punches when you've got a full big thing in front of your chest.
Another thing that people have been bringing up, and this once again makes sense, like the other theory, the NHL has been real big here since Gary Bettman's taken over about helmets
and about trying not to have.
So helmets have been we went from having no helmets. We're talking about players,
right?
Okay. We've gone from having no helmets to wearing helmets with no visors, no cage, no bubble, nothing. Then we went from helmets, you have to have visors.
Yeah.
That was a couple years ago. Now we're at the point where this next CBA that they're going to do in a couple years is one of the things on it is helmets and warm-ups.
They should.
There's like seven or eight guys that do that.
Yeah.
But in the league. And then there's also nine guys in the league currently that don't wear visors. But the visor rule is a grandfathered thing. So once those guys retire, everyone will have a visor, no matter how tough you are or how tough you think you are.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't get it. I don't know why they wouldn't want to do it. But
think about this. When there was a fight a couple weeks ago, I forgot who was in it, but you know, it was two big boys, you know, going at it. One of them was Lucic. And they went to go take their helmets off, and the ref broke it up automatically because they went to go take their helmets off, and the ref broke it up. Goalies, you have to take your helmets off every single time.
Because otherwise you're punching metal and really hard plastic.
Yeah. Oh,
because there's no way for your face to like really be those punchable are, in that instance.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, so a goalie fight, the first thing you see them do is drop the gloves and take their helmet off. Now, in older fights, like in the 80s, they did, you know.
They did that all the time.
Yeah, they would just go in the stands and beat up whatever fan they didn't like.
Yeah, with a shoe. Too.
Yeah.
But, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, the NHL's really started to, you know.
Crack down
on that.
We're more big city greens now and less Broad Street bullies.
Yeah, granny. We're more granny and.
We're more granny
and Bill Green.
Bill Green, okay.
Is big city okay? Since you're like the kid that or the dude that works at the school, is Big City Green like their last name? Because Bill Green.
Okay, I got to be honest with you.
Isn't a show about a zoo?
I did not know that this show existed until this. But I know kids talk about it. But beats the heck out of me if when you were a kid and your
imagine
dad
imagine being that simple. We're here having a talk about Bennington and shit that he did on purpose versus what he didn't, and kids are out here talking about Elmo and Big City Green.
Exactly.
Must be an easy life.
Let's look up Big City Green's lore while we're sitting here.
I bet this is exactly what our listeners
this is what they come for. So after losing his farm in the country town of Smalton, Bill Green and his two children, Cricket and Tilly, move in with his mother, Alice, Grandma, who lives on a small farm in the middle of a city known as Big City.
So their last name is Green.
Big City.
So they really had Bill versus Grandma in the goalie matchup.
Which is like,
because they moved into Grandma's house. Oh my God. And the Big City was the home team. It was the New York Rangers. And that's the Big Apple. Look at that.
Wow. Oh my God. The lore is so deep.
So deep.
But why did they pick the Washington Capitals game?
I have no idea.
Was Ovi one of the characters? Or was Ovi
wasn't even playing in that game, I don't think.
Oh, that's right. He's day to day.
Yeah,
he's day to day.
Because I don't think he was playing in that game. Dang. But like, could you imagine if like Tom Wilson had an actual character sprite over him, and then he got into a fight?
That's what we were talking about earlier. Like, I wanted a fight to have him because.
Yeah,
I think you would need a special character for Tom Wilson.
Yeah,
whoever's the antagonist in the
whoever's show. Like the most evil character in Big City Greens, the worst person. Which again, in the children's show, maybe not many.
Well, you know, everyone's got, like, Dora has Swiper.
Oh, dude. Swiper, no Tom Swiper. Wilson's got big Swiper energy. I hate Tom Wilson.
But, you know, you hate Bennington, too.
No, you hate Bennington. You said you hate Bennington. He's embarrassing. He's cringy. Tom Wilson's a genuine bad person. Bad person.
You know what I actually speak, going back to the Bennington thing, you know, Berube said that he needs to, this is the last time he had the incident, mm-hmm. not the Fleury one. He said that he needs to cut the shit and figure out how to stop the puck because he's struggling. I'm interested to see what happens if we re-sign him, like when...
Because you mean
he's you know he's on our team for the next couple of years, like contract wise. But like you know, we picked him instead of Husso, you know, and now we have Hoffer coming up. Like I wonder when his contract's done, if it's gonna be someone we re-sign or if we move on from him. Because the Blues actually do have a lot of goalies, like and good goalies, like in the minors and stuff.
I would say move on. And again, that's not me saying I dislike him personally. I just think he's way too streaky performance-wise.
I mean, sometimes he's got to be streaky in that way.
I mean, that's I don't know.
But when he's on, he's on.
When he's on, he's
all right. But and it did, I mean, earn the Blues a Stanley Cup. But I don't know. Everyone
talks about like going back to those Facebook groups and stuff like that. Everyone always talks about it. They're like our goaltending's ass. Our goaltending's ass.
Well, I mean, I think there's five guys that are in the way before you get to the goalie.
Our defense is pretty bad. Mm-hmm. And, like, some of those goals that, like, Bennington lit in that game were not his goals. And then, Thomas Greiss lit in, like, two or three. Like, Thomas Greiss's first shot was a breakaway. It's like, okay, well, thanks for helping.
I think that team has other problems, too, though, like you're saying.
Well, I mean, obviously we were shedding. Like, ever since Petrangelo left,
the defense
has been horrible. Because that made everyone move up a spot.
Mm-hmm.
And we just got rid of Mikkola to the Rangers, and we didn't get a defenseman back.
No.
So that's when everyone moves up a spot again.
And I still miss the days when Parayko was the big strong man.
Yeah.
I mean, he's...
Oh, he's a baby now.
He's afraid of breaking his back.
Like, he doesn't, like, ever touch anybody.
Yeah, but you have to think about it, though. He's basically our whole entire defense because he has to log all the minutes because no one... Like, Falk. No one else can. Falk is good, but, like, Krug is also good, and he can, you know, do a lot of minutes, but he's been hurt. Mostly here.
A lot of fragility on that D.
Well, I think that'll do it. On behalf of Cody, Drew, and myself, we hope you guys enjoyed episode 70 of the Fanville Hockey Podcast, and we'll see you guys next week.
You've been listening to the Fanville Hockey Podcast, your one-stop source for everything NHL. You can follow the show on Instagram at Fanville Podcast. If you'd like to rep the Ville, go to shopfanville.myspreadshop.com or hit the link in our Instagram bio.